Amen. That should be a prayer of ours. Lord, let me be in your will. Don't let me hinder. Don't let me distract. Don't let me disturb anything you want to do in my life. Because sometimes we're the world's biggest problems. We think Satan is and he is. But at the same time, the flesh, our will is not always in his will. So much to pray for in these days. God's able to sustain us, help us, guide us. In my whole lifetime, I don't believe I have reached the point as I am now that prayer is such a big part of my life. And the more we pray, the more we see the need of prayer. And it should always be a part of our life, but the urgency of prayer. Remember what we were told in the wonderful Word of God, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't put that in the Word of God just to take up space. He means that he makes you righteous. I don't have any righteousness, but he in me, he makes us righteous according to his righteousness, and we can trust him. So I've been studying a lot about prayer, wanting to pray more, and I would challenge you to pray more. Sometimes everybody's different, of course, but when the Lord wakes me up at night, it's such a privilege. First thing I think of, get up, go kneel, and pray. Look and face. Remember Daniel when he was in bondage in Babylon? Every day, three times a day, he set his face toward Jerusalem. There's something about set in your face, which set in your heart. So I get up and I literally look toward our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And then as I was plotting that, I said, oh, there's other things in that prayer line also. It's almost a beeline straight. In that prayer line is my son Darren's house and my grandchildren that live in Marion. They, oh, as I'm praying toward Washington for our nation, oh, we need to pray for a nation. Hey, I can pray for my family. They're in line with that too. I can pray for others. We have some quick prayer requests. Miss Gail Lannon, Miss Gail Wilkie, and Brother Cox's daughter, and Miss Aller's daughter, and Doug Hudson, Phelan Stewart, Brenda Livingston, Jeanette Griffin, Sister Manila, and all those that's lost that you know and I know, and the people we don't even know, pray for the lost. And as I was praying one particular night this week, in the middle of the night, I just love praying in the middle of the night. It's just a calmness, no phone calls, no traffic on the road outside. I live far enough from the airport that I don't hear the planes. And the sweet presence of God sweeps over me. And sinking from my heart was asking him, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me. Disciples asked that question. He enjoyed telling them how to pray. And my heart was yearning. And the Lord spoke to my heart so clearly and said, look in the Word of God and look at the pattern of prayer that I pray. Now, we know that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And as such, he was God. He was probably in constant communion with the Heavenly Father. But if you look at chronologically or in the order in which he traveled in his earthly ministry, he told me I can learn something. So let's look at that this morning. And it's interesting. We probably know he prayed not only one time a day, but probably continually. But it's interesting that he only mentions, that he, remember, inspired the Word of God. He only mentions three times of him praying in the first 2 years of his ministry. So let's look at following the pattern of prayer that he told us he prayed. Now, everything is significant in the Word of God. John said if everything he did had been written, every one, the books, the world couldn't contain the books that is written. But he chose to mention three times in the first 2 years of his ministry about either prayer, prayed, or praying. And we know he prayed more than that, but that's the one he told us about. So I was studying, and I'd like to be able to preach this, Lord, before Easter if possible. And it just works out. His time always works out so beautifully. So this morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at those three patterns of prayer in the first 2 years of his ministry. Lord willing, we'll look at the third year of his ministry tonight about prayer. And then that's communion time is, next time is so fitting that we'll be able to do that. Next Sunday morning, we'll look at the communion early around, right before the cross of praying. And then, of course, next Sunday after that, first Sunday in the month, will be Easter. So let's dig into the Word of God tonight and look at the pattern or the pattern that he wants us to have chronologically. Now, it's important. If you're reading the book of Mark, for instance, or the book of Matthew, it's not chronological always. You have to study to see where he was when he prayed and where he was. And he tells us somewhere in the scripture, either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, usually where he goes to the next trip. So let's look as fast as we can at those first 2 years of prayer. And it's important. Why is this important? Because he said it was. He mentioned it three times. But there's another verse of scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so if we look at following his pattern where he tells us about prayer, we're praying to God. He was praying to God. He was God. And we can learn a lot about following because it'll help us also. And it just pleases me to know that, you know, I'm pleasing God. The most wonderful feeling in the world that we come to the house of God is we've heard testimony this morning. Just to please him, assemble ourselves together in a manner that he wants us to, not in a manner some have forsaken. But you're here this morning. We thank God for that. And as the weather gets better and as people are probably getting their flu shots, more and more of our people are coming back and we're getting a lot of visitors. We thank God for you. So let's look ahead in these days. And if it gets too crowded out there, room in the balcony, room in the choir, and we do not want ever visitors to come in and don't feel like they can find a seat. We want to have them have plenty of room. We need to grow. I remember like it was in the old sanctuary years ago when we had to have two services. And then if somebody saved their seat, the visitor would come in and couldn't find a seat. And I sat in the pulpit area and watched visitors come in the old sanctuary and couldn't find a seat and leave. Let's don't let that happen. Nor should it need to happen. It's so important. Okay, let's follow his prayer life. And the first time, the first one I want to look at is praying ahead for the events that await us. Now, Jesus could do that better than us, of course, because we're praying for events that await us, but we don't know what awaits us. He did. And he looked ahead and he saw everything that's going to happen the next day or the next night. Furthermore, he can look ahead and see all the way to the cross, every event, every second. Furthermore, him being God, he could look ahead to the day and see you and I seated in the house of God. He's a big God, and he knows your heart, and he knows what awaits you tomorrow. And since we don't, let's pattern our life and pray ahead for the events that await. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, 30. Verse 35, in his first 2 years of ministry. Now, as we look chronologically at it, we're not only going to look at those three instances where he said either prayer, praying, or prayed, but we're going to look at the circumstances around that. That's what we're going to learn from. Not only that he prayed and what he prayed, but at the same time, what perhaps caused him to pray, what led him into that. And the first one is very clear. He's praying for the events that await him the next day. Mark 1:35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, if I'm following his prayer, pattern, not only that early in the morning he prayed for the things that weighed him that day, but look what a solitary place. Now, we can pray in church with everybody listening. That's good. We can pray in the car. Perhaps at the same time you may be listening to a gospel radio station. but I found myself. And Jesus did this clearly. So as he is in this world, so are we. That solitary place is so important. And furthermore, he's the one that wants to choose for you and for me which solitary place it is. Where you pray, when you pray, as you pray, all important to God. And if you really have a desire in your heart to follow him, then he will guide you and tell you ahead of time where he wants you to go in a particular time to pray. Oh, would he do that? I don't care what people say. I can pray as well as at home. I can pray as well back there. Hey, you can pray anywhere, of course, but when you follow him and his instructions to you, that is meaningful. So he went to a solitary place, praying and looking ahead at the events of the day. Let's keep reading. And Simon and they that were with him followed him. That is interesting, isn't it? We follow his pattern. We follow his example. And everything he does, as he is in this world, so are we. You say, well, you should be missing that more than once. Hey, I want us to understand that Jesus wants us to follow him in this world. Verse 37. And when they had found him, they said to him, all men seek for thee. And he said to them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. My job and yours is to pray for the events that await us, because we don't know what they are, but we know he does. And we also know furthermore for this, that he wants to go from place to place in our journeys as we go, where we go, and we're telling others about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're following his instructions. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and said to him, if I will, that can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be thy clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said to him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Follow the scripture. Search the scriptures. For in them you find eternal life. And he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. I'd never seen this before, but look, Jesus instructs him, go tell no one. And we would think that it would be good to go out and celebrate and tell everybody what Jesus, and rightfully so this day and time. But remember, Jesus was in the world. He was going in synagogues. He was going in the villages. And they hated him bad enough. But remember, he wanted to go where the people were. But they were throwing him, and they were so large a crowd that he couldn't even minister in the city because of this commandments that this man made. I wonder in my life and yours how many times we have not followed instructions because, well, you would think this and you would think this. Hey, it's not what I think. It's not what you may think. It's what Jesus said in his word that's most important. So the hindering cause was there because this man that was healed did not follow instructions and look at so clearly. But now he couldn't go into the city to minister anymore to the hundreds and to the thousands. But he was in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. It's well and good that they came to him from every quarter, but remember, he's the one that wants to set the agenda. Every day in my life, he is the one that wants to set the agenda. And he has happened to, if you will, follow their agenda because the crowds were there so much that he couldn't have his ministry the way that he liked to. So he was in the desert places. That's the first time that we see in these first 2 years of his ministry, but I want to look at the next one. This is so important. This particular time, early in the morning, he went out and prayed for the events of that day and the upcoming days. But the next one I want to deal with would be found in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." That's the second time in these 2 year ministry. He withdrew. The first time he went to a solitary place, and that was to look at the day's events and the next day. But this time, he is going there for a different reason, and the scripture will indicate that very clearly. So let's go back. We know that in this wilderness, the second time it's mentioned. So this time he is praying alone so he can be alone with the Father to get away from all the ministry and problems that there are. Other people's problems, if you will. How do I know that? Let's read some text together. Now remember, sometimes he records it Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and sometimes John. But for the most part, we're going to just read one of them. Don't have time to cover it all. But we see clearly now the pattern of prayer that he is going there, and it will indicate as we're reading why he did this. Let's go back and look at Luke chapter 4, verse 33. Sorry for all the scriptures in the way I am, but hey, the scriptures is what lead us to knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can follow him and his pattern of prayer. Luke 4:33. Now remember, at the end of this day, or at the end of this period of time, he went alone, seemingly had to go alone, to get the solitude, to get away from people's problems. Not only was he God in the flesh, but he was man. And as a man, he got hungry. He got tired. He got weary. Many times he had to part the crowds. A lesson for you and I. You can get so busy, not only with your problems, but other people's problems, as we should. But it takes a toll on you. But there's a remedy. Go to a place where he tells you to go. Maybe it's in the wilderness. Maybe it's a long way away. So you can be alone in order to be alone with God. No interference. So important. We've got all our agenda. You may write down what I need to pray for, and that's good. But remember, when you pray, there's a lot more we need to learn than anything you could say. God wants to do some talking too. And those times and places that you're alone in the wilderness, that you're at that solitary place, we're following him, remember, that's when you can be alone to hear his voice. And that makes all the difference in the world. Luke 4:33. We'll read a few verses. "And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, cried out with a loud voice." If you've ever been around demonic influence, that takes a toll on you physically and spiritually. Jesus encountered those. And the first prayer we prayed, we understand and see that he cast out many devils. They're out there. They're trying to harm and damn and destroy. Verse 34, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Or thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Even the demons and the demonic powers knew who he was, and he was facing them almost constantly, the oppression of the demonic forces that would come to him. "Are you come to destroy us?" And they could not tolerate. Hey, when you're around Jesus, if you can get someone with the demonic force to get around Jesus, things are going to pick up. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out unto every place of the country round about," casting out demons, oppression that he, the Son of God, have to be around those demons. Remember, it was he and God and the Holy Spirit together that cast Satan out of heaven and into the earth, and there not have to be around them anymore. But now, as the Son of Man, he's around these demonic forces. Could not tolerate them in heaven, but now they're all around him, and it has an effect on his physical, and no doubt on his ability to do what he wants to do. Not only casting out demons, but look at the healing he encountered. Remember, he is God, but he is also in the flesh. And verse 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife, mother, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. We talk about healing. One minute she's a great fever and sick, the next minute God touches her, and now she's ministering. Hey, I know we have our sorrows and our pains and our woes and our hurts, and sometimes we pity ourselves a lot. Probably we should. But at the same time, when God touches and heals it, there's a work to be done. A ministry. Oh, she could have done what a lot of people would do. You know, well, I've been sick. I can't feed you. I can't help. Oh, she was more than willing. When God touches you and God sets you free of infirmities, you're more than willing to go out and be a servant of him. And then what happens in verse 40? And when the sun was set, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. We're not talking about one or two. We're talking about, no doubt, hundreds of people sick in the community. Jesus is here. He's casting out devils. He's healing leprosy. And now they come by, and he has to take from his time. And he loves to do it, of course. But now he's in a lofty place. It doesn't tar him out now to be able to touch us, to be able to heal us. But in that day, remember, as he was traveling, he was just a servant of God. At the same time, he was full God, but he got tired and weak as others. The Bible says he laid his hands on every one of them, no exceptions. You need a touch, he took time for him. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. We see the demon possessed people and they cast them out. Now we see the healing. And again, we see all those people that were demon possessed. And if there were that many in that particular time, no wonder in the world today, there are so many people, and we say, and we're questioning, why, how could they kill that baby? How could they do that? How could they butcher? Oh, demon possession is very real. You don't hear much about it, but it was in Jesus' day, and the world's gotten worse and will get worse. How much more demon? And you and I are around those people, but there's a remedy. Jesus prayed. We're getting to that in a minute. Not only he cast out demons and healing, but now he came to do the will of God. He came to those that without God, and he was preaching also all at the same time. Verse 42, and when it was day, he departed and went to a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. There again, we see our need not only to preach here, but to go everywhere and preach the gospel. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And we're getting down now to the fact that after all of this, he is so tired and so weary that he must get alone with God. And to do that, he must be alone. No one else. Let's look at that coincidence in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. We read verse 16. At the conclusion of all the healing and all the casting out devils and all the many people that surrounded him, how weary and tired he was, did he need a place to pray? But let's look at another example in verse 12 of chapter 5 of Luke. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, thou wilt, that can make me cleanse. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man to shew himself to the priest, all for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded for testimony of them. But so much the more went out of fame abroad, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. From village to village, from synagogue, from city to city, and now great multitudes. And that would be wonderful, but at the same time, it took a measure on him. It took some need for him to be alone with God. So we read verse 16 again. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It'd been